because he deserves it, doesn't he? Everything on the mountaintop to him. Before I start officially, Mr. Farrell, Mr. Jonathan Farrell, front and center. We're so proud of Farrell because we call him Farrell. His name is Jonathan Farrell, but we had so many Jonathans. We call him Farrell, and we love to call him Farrell because it just fits him, doesn't it? It just does, and so it'd be weird to call him Jonathan at this point. So he's Farrell forever. All right, so he needs a mic because I'm going to interview him.
Ooh. I'm scared.
So Farrell, we're so proud of you, and we're going to anoint you and send you on your mission. But I want you to tell the congregation what you've been doing for the last forever years.
For the last forever years, yeah. I have been in pursuit of my Master's of Divinity.
Yes.
So I am currently enrolled in a seminary, which doesn't sound so fancy. Yes,
well,
I'm a seminary.
No, he actually received from it. That's good.
But it's with Global Awakening, for those of you who are familiar with Global Awakening, and Dr. Randy Clark, who was one of the lead revivalists in the Toronto Blessing, if you remember that, in the 90s.
So he's, and if you didn't, look it up.
Look it up. There was all kinds of amazing things that happened in that revival. But he decided that he wanted to start a seminary because, you know, people who are charismatic and have the move of the Spirit need to be able to think, too. Yeah. And so I enrolled in that seminary back in 2018, and I'm finally coming to the end of that season in my life. And so this missions trip is a part of fulfilling that journey.
And we are all so proud of you. Now, what he is probably going to be embarrassed when I tell you this is that on every Tuesday for a long time, he has fasted 2 meals a day. And so, and how do I know that? Because he works at the church and I keep trying to feed him. And he refuses to eat it. And so he has stood strong and he is believing God for signs and wonders and miracles. And I believe he is going to be activated in signs, wonders, and miracles on this trip. Bill Johnson said the catalyst for anybody who wants signs and wonders and miracles is one of these mission trips with Randy Clark, and Heidi Baker will also be there. So I believe that this is going to be a great impartation for Farrell on top of the impartation that he has from Liberty Life Center. Amen. And so we want to anoint him and send him out. But I'm going to ask you guys to do something for me and him. This Tuesday, how many of you would fast for Farrell? Look. Oh, see, we all love you, Farrell. He hates when he gets hugs. That's why everybody should hug him today. We do torture the poor man.
That is on video, though, so, I mean, I don't know.
And there we have it. Okay, so I'm going to try to be serious for a minute.
Do I need this still?
No, you're good. So you guys agree with me in prayer. And Lord, I just thank you for Farrell. And Lord, I thank you for the anointing of this house, approving of him as heaven does. Lord, we come into agreement that this will be a breakthrough miracle way for Farrell, Lord. I thank you that his heart is yours for here and for the nations. For all the people, Lord, he has your compassion and he has so much knowledge. Now, Lord, activate that knowledge into practical experiences. And, Lord, let him heal blind eyes. Let him see lame walk. Let him be a part of the book of Acts. And, Father, we bless him as he goes. We bless him in this endeavor. We bless him for all of his faithfulness to you. Now, God, we thank you for your faithfulness to him. And we thank you for the anointing, God, that he receives. And, Father, that he brings everything home with all of us. And we just thank you for it, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Sorry I messed you up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, all you hungry people on Tuesday, I appreciate it. Because we're going to be a part of, you know, when The Bible says that we're the body of Christ. So when one of us thrives, the rest of us thrive. When one of us gets something from God, the rest of us receive also. And we're going to experience it together. And that's how we feel about all of you. I know that's how Pharaoh feels about you. That's how we feel. When you thrive, we thrive. When you hurt, we hurt. And when you're going through something, we fight with you. And so that's what the body of Christ is all about. Amen? So today is also Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day, all you mothers. Will you mothers stand? Happy Mother's Day. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, so I have some gifts that Billy Kay donated to us. And so who is the youngest mother? Leave. Where is Missy here? Missy, are you the youngest? How old are you? Is any mothers here younger than 25? Okay, Missy. Missy's young. Okay, Missy Moo. Wait. This is the good part of being a mom, isn't it? Okay, who is strong enough and brave enough to say you are the most mature mother in years, okay? I don't know. Who is? 79? 78? Helen, how old are you? You are what? You are not 89. I'm going to faint. Letha, can you beat that? No. Okay. Wow. God bless you, Helen. Oh, my goodness. Hey, we should all be that amazing when we're 89. Amen. Thank you, God, for her. Her and her husband have been missionaries for their whole life, and Missy happens to be her granddaughter, and that's her great-granddaughter. So there you go. From generation to generation, amen? Okay, now I have another question for you. Who brought the most children to church today? Okay, how many did you bring, Iona? Oh, no. How many did you bring? Five? Did anybody bring more than five children to church today? I didn't think so. Congratulations and happy Mother's Day. And be blessed with all those children. That's all I could say. How many of you know mothers have a hard job? But they have a wonderful job, don't they? Okay. So, yesterday we had a special ladies' brunch, and Mercy opened up her house to all of the ladies, and that was so nice. And, you know, we had 36 ladies present that I counted. There might have even been more. I don't know, but it was wonderful. And so we had beautiful ladies and beautiful food and beautiful community. And, of course, we included God. So Helen and Cindy taught on Lois and Eunice and how they passed on what they believed to Timothy, who wrote the book of Timothy. Janice Champagne taught on Anna the prophetess and how she chose to serve in the Lord's house and how she was able to affect so many people with her obedience to God, and that she got to see Jesus getting dedicated to the Lord when he was 8 years old. Isn't that beautiful? 8 days. I'm sorry. 8 days. Thank you for... Oh, you stole the baby. I'm so jealous right now. And Mariella taught us on Hannah and how she was seemingly overlooked because she was barren. But when she promised God she would give her son back to the Lord's use, Samuel grew to be a prophet whose not one of his words fell to the ground. So all of these people, Susan taught on Deborah. And Deborah was a woman who had a spiritual heart for an entire nation, so God gave her the position to rule an entire nation. So God counted her able, and so she rose up and was a warrior. And we were challenged to rise up and be warriors. Amen? And so all of those things were your Mother's Day teaching. And so today, I'm going to talk to you about faith, because that's what I do. And so it will apply to you mothers as well, but it'll apply to all of you. Is that okay? Okay. So last week, we talked about Jesus being driven into the wilderness so that he could be tempted of the enemy, right? The Holy Spirit took him there. But he did it to show us how we win. And so every temptation that the enemy could bring to him, he won against it. How many of you know how he won against the enemy every time? Right, he spoke out the word of God in faith. So you've been weaponized with the word just like Jesus was. We have the word of God available to us, so we have to understand we need to have faith in the word and faith in God. And that comes from relationship, correct? So the word of his father to Jesus was non-negotiable. Why? Because he knew his father. So how many of you know that you can know about God without knowing him? Right? I have led many people to the Lord that said, yeah, I know God. Okay, really? Well, when did you become a personal acquaintance of his? When did you come to know Jesus as your personal Savior? And they may know about God, but they haven't known God in his ways. But how many of you know that he is available and faith is available to every person? Amen. Okay, so, you know, it's the same as anybody else. You know, you can know about people if you read their history. You might know something about somebody, but that doesn't mean you really know them. It just means you know about them. You read something about them, you know something about them. But if you meet them in person, then it can be the beginning of knowing them. And if you spend a lot of time with them, then you'll get to know about them. And then there might be this marvelous opportunity for you to get to know them in the way that they stand by their word. How many of you know somebody who stands by their word? Yeah, how many of you wish you knew somebody who stood by their word? Right? Okay, so that is the person you want to be close to. Amen? And so we have to do more than casually know about God. They say that there are so many Christians in America. But do they really say they're Christians because they know about him, or are they Christians because they have a relationship with him? Because the Bible says it's by their fruit that you will know them. So if you have a relationship with God, guess what? Your life begins to change. You begin to change because he begins to become more acquainted with you, and he reveals his ways to you. And so you have to, on purpose, seek him out to meet him. You have to, at some point, respond to a message that says, do you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? And you say, yes. And when you respond to him and you ask him to forgive your sins and to come into your heart and to heal you from your past, he does just that, because he is faithful to his word, the same way for one, the same way for another. Amen? And so then you go and you meet with him. How? On the basis of prayer. Prayer is not a one-way thing. You don't go to God and just say, okay, this is what I need. This is what I got to have. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going through. No, it is not like that. We have a two-way conversation with God. And our Father is always talking to us. It's just whether we learn to tune in to his voice, which we'll have training sessions on that also. So you can learn what his voice is like. And so, but you have to have desire to be with him and his word, and allow the revelation of who he really is to become a part of you. When we understand who he really is, it isn't because we read the Bible as words in a book. It's because the Bible is alive, and as you begin to read it, you begin to look into it, and all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, this is what he is. This is how he does things. And I opened to Jeremiah, and it says, I don't even know what, 17:7. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. Hallelujah. You see, you can read that as something that you just read in a book, or you could say, man, I am that man that is blessed. I am that woman that is blessed because I believe in, I trust in, I'm relying on the Lord. My hope and my confidence is in him, not me. And that's how faith works. Because no matter how good you are, and there's a lot of good people, but no matter how good they are, they're not as good as God is. And you can never line up to the goodness of God without God being involved in your life. And so we have to go after him and understand who he really is. He is not angry at us. Aren't you glad? Amen. Hallelujah. So we must know him for who he is, and he is not a withholder. He's also not a man. Bible says in Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Guess what? When he decided to be love and to love you, he will never back up on that. He loved you before he created you, and he will forever and eternally love you. He is higher. He doesn't change his mind about love or his commitment to you or his longing to be entirely everything you need him to be. And so you can have as much of God as you desire. You can have as much of him as you desire. You just have to desire him. And God is not confused about who he is. Isn't that a good thing? God knows who he is. That's wonderful. He tells us who he is in Isaiah 45. He says, verse 5, I am the Lord. Guess what? He's not confused. There is no other. Beside me, there is no God. He's not sharing who he is with Buddha or Mohammed or any of the other weirdness that you can come up with, not even man in whatever status of life they are. No, I am the Lord, and there is no other, and beside me there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me. God looks into the future of your life and says, I know who I am, and I also know who I'm going to be inside of you, and I'm equipping you with everything you need to live a victorious life. Amen. That's our God. Okay, so the people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord. There is none other. So in case somebody has tried to tell you it's okay, you, as long as you are passionate about some God, that's okay. God understands your heart. What God? Not this God. Because this God, the God of the Bible, the real God, the one that created you in your mother's womb, the one who saved you before the foundation of the world, he is absolutely perfected on who he is and who he's called you to be. And he's not sharing that opportunity. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way but through Jesus Christ. Done. Amen, somebody. Okay. Now, Moses knew him. The Bible tells us that Moses knew him face to face. And we can know him that way too. And when he began to know him, God began to give Moses instructions about what he was supposed to say to other people. He was discipling the Israelites. He was teaching them and training them. And he says in Deuteronomy 6, this is the instruction, the laws, and the precepts which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land that you're going to go up and possess. God always has a land that you're going to go up and possess. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. He's already mapped it out for you. Okay. That you may reverently fear the Lord your God. That reverently fearing the Lord is not fearing him as though he's going to kill you. It's reverencing him for who he is. Okay. So, and he says, you and your son and your son's son, which means reverencing God, is for every generation. Reverencing God is for every generation. and keep his statutes and his commandments, meaning obeying God is for every generation. Do you know our God is a generational God? Amen. So I command you all the days of your life that your days may be prolonged. So he's saying, if you want to live long, this is how to do it. And then he said, hear, O Israel, and be watchful to do them, that it may be well with you, and when it's well with you, and when you do that, that you will increase exceedingly. So provision and increase is for every generation. All of a sudden, God didn't dry up his funds for you, even when COVID came, even when, you know, the acceleration of inflation is being broadcasted. This is still God who knows who he is and what he does. And so he said, it will be well with you that you may increase exceedingly. And so there is provision for every generation, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. It was their promised land that they were going to. But I'm here to announce to you today, you have a promised land, and we are on a journey to receive it all. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, the only Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You settle that. I'm not going to love him a little bit. I'm not going to love him half-heartedly. Oh, poor God. I'm not going to love him with part of my soul. No. I'm not going to love him with part of my mind. No. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, all your soul, and with all your strength, your entire being. That's why when we praise God, we should praise God. That's why when we pray, we should contact heaven and know that heaven is hearing and bringing the answers to our prayers. We should have a relationship with God that is sure. And so when you open up your heart to Jesus, you have an open relationship with the Father, and you can be settled on this. God is God. Can you say God is God?
God is God.
Okay. And Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Can you say Jesus is the Son of God? The Savior of the world. Hallelujah. So salvation is for every generation. And salvation doesn't include just your escape out of hell. It includes health and wellness and everything that you need for your life to prosper. Sozo. I keep saying that because it includes everything. It includes everything. So faith is important, and it is so amazing because God has given to every person. Some people say, well, I don't have enough faith to believe in a God I cannot see. Well, you're lying. You've been lied to, and you've believed a lie. Because this is what God said about it. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, you're not singled out any different than anybody else. You're all in the same box together, right there. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man and every woman the measure of faith. So do you have faith enough to believe God at his word?
Yes.
And we know it's true because he just said so. So some people say, I don't have enough faith. Oh, yes, you do. You have a measure of faith, the same we all started out with. We all started out with a measure of faith. And it's a necessary ingredient. Because when Satan comes, and he will come, you can win against him in every temptation and every trial, not because someone else won against him by faith. You see, we are Christians. We go to churches, well, hopefully, and we invite people to come to church. But we can't live on somebody else's faith. Do you know that? I mean, I can help you with your faith. That's what I'm trying to do. I can tell you about the faith that you need to have in God. I can make the Bible come alive because it's alive to me. And when it's alive to you, you can make it come alive to somebody else. But what I'm saying is you cannot win by trusting that I win. I have my own battles. I have to have my own faith. I can go to war with you, But you have to get up and pick up your sword and fight too. Because you have a measure of faith. And you have to exercise your measure of faith because faith can grow. Amen? It's like if you've ever had a cold, well, if you ever have a bad report, let's not say what it is. But if you've ever had a bad report and you're trying to exercise your faith for it, but you've never believed God to win against a headache. What is your faith building on? So you start with where you are. Recognize where your faith is. Do you have headache faith? Well, then overcome the headache with the word of God. You know, if you have a cold, then overcome the cold with the word of God. And then when trouble comes and the enemy hits you with something higher, you've already learned how to equip yourself with the word of God in your mouth, just like Jesus did, so that you overcome and you win against the enemy. And then you end up having a praise report that affects so many lives, because even the doctors will be amazed. Amen. Amen? And so, because you love God back when he offered his love, then you have believed in God and you receive faith that brings forth the promises of God into reality in your life. So if we're going to believe the word of God, then we have to believe all the word of God. Okay, good. A couple of amens. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Some scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. Some? No. All. How much is all? I looked it up. You know what it means? All. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. That means you can know what you know and why you know it. Hallelujah. We don't have to wonder what we believe. If you read the word of God, he will make it so real to you that when somebody asks you what you believe, you can turn to it in the Bible and say, well, I believe it, and this is why I believe it, because it says it right here in the word of God, which I base my life on this. Well, if you're not basing your life on this, what the heck are you basing your life on? It's sinking sand. And so either it's true, and the Bible is true, or it's not. Well, men messed with it. And the Bible says all scripture, and the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Everything that God wanted to be in this word, he protected. It says the Holy Spirit came upon men and they wrote these scriptures. Do you think if God created the world, he is able to watch over his word to perform it just like he promised? Do you think he could save his scriptures the way he wants them to be saved? Do you think that it's still valid today? Because either you believe it or you don't believe it at all. Okay, so all scripture is God breathed. So it's important that you understand that it's the word of God that is the thing that's going to equip you. And it equips you to win through relationship. How many of you like to be winners? Oh man, I like victory, man. I don't want to be the one at the back. I don't want to stand before God and he goes, you almost missed it. I don't want to be that person. I want to hear him say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. High five. And then, you know, you're out for thousands of years because he just touched you, you know. And so that's what I know. That song that goes, what will I do when I see? Can you imagine? I can only imagine. Because are you kidding me? We're going to be standing before God. I can imagine that I will not be able to do anything except for praise him. I don't know how long that is going to last, but forever and ever, we will praise his name. And forever and ever, I'm going to be in awe of God. And as soon as I can get up off the floor, which will probably be many years, then I'm going to go interview everyone in heaven. Because I want to see it all and understand it all. I want to talk to Paul. I want to talk to David. I want to talk to everyone. I want to talk to Moses. I want to interview Noah. I'm asking God, do it on a big screen and have them live it out. I mean, you know, it could be The Chosen, but better in person. Okay? And so it's going to be alive, so alive, and we will never get to the end of knowing God and his holiness. We'll never get to the end of it. Forever and ever, we'll know something more wonderful about God. All the time. That's who our God is. Hallelujah. Okay, so faith has a special ingredient in it. And you know what it is? It's the ability to please God. Woo. I want to please God. But here's how I please God. I believe him at his word. It's enough. Now, you know how you can get in trouble with your parents? Because if they tell you, you know, we're gonna go on vacation. And then they give you a date for it. We're going to go in July. Oh, let it be so, God. Okay. We're going to go on vacation. Maybe I'm speaking it into being right now. Yeah. Okay, not all of us at one time, but some of us. Okay. So, and they say, okay, we're going to go on vacation. This is where we're going. This is the time. We're going to get up. We're going to leave. We're going to go. We're going to stay 14 days. Oh, yeah, make it long. And so we're going to do that. And then tomorrow you get up and you go, can we go on vacation? And they go, we already told you we're going on vacation. We have a date. We have a time. We have a place. And the next day they get up and they go, can we go on vacation? You know, after about the 20th day, you're going to slap them upside the head. Maybe the 10th day. Maybe even the 3rd day. You're just like, don't you believe me? I have set aside exactly everything that we need. I have it down. I know exactly where we're going, what we're doing, how it's going to be. How much? Don't worry about anything. I paid for it in advance. Do you understand? And so if your children keep questioning you after you gave them a promise and provided for them, that could like be irritating. And yet we do that to our Father in heaven all the time. We go, oh, well, you know, will you provide for me? Could you please turn over here in this book and see that I have already provided everything that you need for life and life abundantly? John 10:10. Okay, so he's just like, I provided everything that you're ever going to need. Everything, and he's already provided it. He had a set time in your life when he knew you were going to listen to him. He had a set time in your life to bless you. He has a set time for you to know your destiny and purpose. He has a set time when the anointing comes over your life and you increase and your faith increases because you're in the presence of Almighty God, and him and all the ones that have gone before us are standing up there and they're going, look, they trust him more. And there are people in heaven that are excited about you and excited about your journey in God because they were there too. And they went through things. The Bible does not say you won't have to face anything that you don't understand. No. Because faith is believing in something hoped for without any evidence. So you may not see it yet. It may not feel like it yet. You may not have all the answers yet. But if you know him and you can find a promise in his book, then you can say, hey, devil, I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it smells like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't even care what my feelings say. They don't get to vote. This is who votes. God Almighty, and he wrote it in his word. And then if you really want to enjoy yourself, find some promises and start reading it to the devil. He'll flee, because he can't stand up against that. That's why I have Bibles all over my house, too. Okay. Faith. It says, without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So guess what that means? With faith, it's possible to please him. Amen? Faith is assurance, belief, fidelity. It means you're being 100% in accordance with his word, and you will refuse to come out of agreement with it. fidelity to his word, believing it entirely. So the opposite is, for he comes, next verse, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. So the first thing is God real? God just said God is God. And then you have to believe this amazing part of this scripture is that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If I told you I had hidden $1,000 outside somewhere and it'll be a reward for the first person who finds it, we would have an empty church in about a minute. Because all of a sudden, we would be seeking the reward. Is that right? But here is a promise from God that he is going to reward us if all we do is diligently seek him. We believe that he is, and we believe that he's got a reward for us. Oh, hallelujah, how amazing is our God. He doesn't just say, yeah, and then you won't go to hell. He says, not only will you not go to hell, I have promises that you're going to find treasures hidden all along your way. You're going to find your purpose and your destiny, but you're also going to find life. You're also going to find that I teach you how to overcome. You're also going to find the correct mate. You are also going to have children. You are also going to be blessed, and everything you put your hand to, it's going to prosper. God has promises for us in every area of our life. Every area of our life. And so he is watching over his word to perform it. And so he says we're going to have a reward. Reward here means we are going to have a deliverance. He is going to deliver to us whatever we need. He is going to give to us again and again. He is going to repay us for whatever you give to God. You know, he multiplies it before he gives it back to you. He is amazing like that. He will perform what only he can perform. He will recompense. He's going to give you back more than you could ever even imagine. More than you could ever think, the Bible says. He will give more than you could ever think. I can think big. Can you think big? Well, he's going to give you more than that. He will restore you. He will reward you. He will yield back to you a produce from your investment. From your investment. From your investment. He has already invested the best thing he had, his son. He gave his son for you. Now he's just asking you, would you please invest your time? Would you please, those gifts that I gave you, would you use your talent for me somehow? Would you do that? I love seeing the musicians up here using their talent. I'm always happy for that. Will you give your finances? Will you give your offerings and your tithes and help people that are in need? True religion. Will you do that? He says he will yield back to us a produce on anything that we invest. Amen? And so in his entirety, when you give him the privilege of having faith in him and in his ability, he has a reward waiting for you already. Hallelujah. Now, faith is able to grow. Yay. Hebrews 6:11. We do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence and sincerity all the way through in realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end. Basically, keep the faith. Keep the faith. And then your faith will grow. In order that you may not, verse 12, grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, that means you can become spiritual sluggards. It means you just eke by. It means that when COVID hits, you just got hit. And you just stayed hit. And you just stayed like, I don't know, I'm just surviving. He goes, no, don't be a spiritual slugger. Don't fall for that. Don't just eke by. But imitators, behaving as those who, through faith, by what? Their leaning of the entire personality of God in Christ, and absolute trust and confidence in his power and his wisdom and his goodness, and by practice of patient endurance, are waiting now to inherit all the promises. So faith gives you the ability to have absolute trust and to lean on God so that you can inherit it all. Is your faith rising today? Okay, we need these kind of sermons because we need to understand, hey, I need to come up a level in my faith. Maybe I let go of it somewhere along the way. Maybe I'm not believing God like I used to. Maybe I did get hit and fell down. You can fall down 7, you just have to get up 8. That's in the Bible too. Hello? And when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself because he didn't have anybody greater to swear by. Because, you know, he's not confused. God is God. And he can be trusted because there's no one greater than him. And he said this, in blessing, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply you. Hallelujah. And so we've been talking about discipleship because God has highlighted it for us in the Great Commission. And so he said, go into all the world and make disciples. And so disciples are more than acquaintances. Disciples are more than somebody you hand a card to. Say you need to read this. I mean, you can start there, but disciples mean you get up in their life. You become a part of who they are. And so Jesus did that. Jesus went into the world, called disciples, and then he made them disciples. He said, follow me. That's the first thing. And he said, your disciples that you have access to could be your family members. Do you know you're supposed to affect your family? Yeah. You know all those aunts and uncles that you could just go, oh my, I don't really care if they come on, you know, to a family thing because they just drive me up the wall. But if you're the light, you're supposed to be the light for them. Amen? To your coworkers, it could be your neighbors, it could be everybody that you're acquainted with. Can then now become someone that you should reach out to try to disciple. And so, because why? Because they all have to know how to have faith in God. And you have faith in God, so you can teach them how. So some have never heard about faith. Do you know that? They don't even know that Jesus is the Son of God or paid a price on the cross. There are people in the United States of America that do not know that. And if you know that, you are the best thing they could ever meet. And so Jesus called his disciples, and then when he had time with them, he took time with them. And he talked to them in such a way that they could understand what he was trying to convey. And so because of his own faith in his Father and in his words of his Father, he continued to speak what was already written by the Father. He was constantly quoting scripture to them and explaining to them and expounding to them what it really meant. But also, he spoke in parables. Jesus spoke in parables because he wanted to take advantage of the environment that they were in, and he knew that they could relate to it and they could remember because they'd have a visual. And that is a proven fact that if you have a visual, you'll remember better. And so unless you understand the environment in Israel, you may not know what a marked difference that would be in the minds of the disciples. But I'm going to share this with you about what is in Israel and what it looks like. I've been to Israel. It's amazing. Okay, in Israel, there are not just mustard seeds, but there are mustard bushes, and there are mustard trees, and there are mustard seed fields. So when I was studying this out, I listened to some guy who went to Israel, and he was studying out the ground, the grains, and so he was picking up samples of all of the different soil. And then he wanted to remember all their stories, and he wanted to remember what it meant to him. And so he had them with him, you know, and he was going to take them home, and he was going to put them in jars, and he was going to keep them as a remembrance. And part of what he picked up was mustard seeds, because it was so amazing to him when he saw the different stages of a mustard seed. And so he went, oh, God, I want to remember this, that if I'm going to have this so I can look at it. It's a visual for me forever and ever. Even though I'm home and I don't usually see mustard seed fields like this, I'm going to go home, I'm going to have it. And so, you know, he had to go through customs. And so when you go through customs, you know what they do? They want to know everything that you have, and they're going to tell you what you can take home and what you can't take home. And so, you know, he said, now, before you ask me, I want to tell you that I have collected some soil here, and I've collected this as a mustard seed collection that I have right here. And so, but I really want you to let me have it because it means so much to me. You don't understand. I mean, I'm a Christian. I walk through every bit of this means something to my life. Can I please take these home? I promise I'll put them in jars. I'll put them in the lid on and I will never take them out of the jar again. I just want to have it as a visual. And he said, no, it is impossible. You cannot take these home. And he goes, yeah, but do you understand? Let me tell you about it. And so now he's telling about the soil. He's telling him about what it means to him. And he said, all right. So you're going to put it in a jar, he promised, and you're going to put a lid on it. And he said, yes. And he goes, and you're never going to open it again. No, I'm just going to use it as a visual. And he goes, okay, you can take all the soil, but you cannot take the mustard seed. And he said, well, why can't I take the mustard seed? And he said, because we can't afford to allow the mustard seed to go with you because of its ability to have exponential growth. Just saying. And so we're going to see the reality of this by this video. I hope, if we're ready back there. Oh, I'm blocking. Look how happy it is at 32 days. It's praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that amazing? Woo-hoo. That's how we're supposed to praise the Lord. All right. Okay. So in 37 days, did you see that? Was that amazing? Okay, well, this is what the custom guy was talking about. That was from one seed. One seed. And 37 days, a little bit over a month. Look at what can happen. And so Jesus is looking at stuff, and he always sees things from a different perspective, and he's trying to train his disciples. He's discipling his disciples. Now, in Israel, they're walking through fields of mustard seed. They're seeing the bushes. They're seeing the trees. They're seeing the seed. They know what it does. They eat it. Okay, and so Jesus says, let me seize this opportunity. And so in Matthew 13, he says, another story by way of comparison, he set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like one little grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field. And of all the seeds, it is the smallest. But when it has grown, it is the largest of the garden herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds can come and of the air can come and find shelter in its branches. So God, Jesus, through Jesus, is saying the kingdom of God looks like that. The kingdom of God is like you take one little bit of understanding of what the kingdom of God looks like, the kingdom of heaven looks like, and if you hide that grain in your heart, it has the ability to have exponential growth to grow your faith so that your mustard seed faith can branch out and be a protecting place and a place of refuge for other people. Amen? And so, Jesus wants them to see that by looking at the natural, you can begin to understand things about the kingdom of God because he's always looking at the bigger picture. He's not stuck in their little finite world, just like he's not stuck in our little finite world, because we see a grain of mustard seed and we go, what good is that? But he sees it, and he sees the bigger picture. And so Jesus and his disciples would be walking through this on a regular basis. All right, next one. All mustard seeds. Do you see those little people? Do you see how little they are? Do you see how many fields of mustard seed there actually is? So he saw, through one little mustard seed, he saw souls. He saw us. He saw you. He saw all the people that were going to come and be in fields of harvest. He's trying to train his disciples to get out of the natural thinking that if you plant a seed of faith, one little seed of faith, this big, one little seed of faith, that God can do anything concerning this in my life. He can turn it into that. He can take one little bit of your faith, and he can make it look like a field of harvest, because that's what he has planned for you. And that's what he has planned for them. He sees how one person's apparent small seed of faith will grow and bring a huge harvest for the kingdom of God. Then he said in Luke 17:6, he said, again, he talks about it. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, it will obey you. Well, isn't that interesting? So he said, faith is available to everyone. Remember, you've been given a measure of faith. But he said, even if you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, just one mustard seed faith, it can uproot a tree that has a bunch of roots that you can't pull it out of the ground by yourself. But with a small mustard seed of faith, you can speak to it, and it can be uprooted and thrown into the sea where it can't be rooted again. It can't take root in a seed, in the sea. And so he's saying, you've got to understand the way this works. This is the way the kingdom of heaven works. You don't have to have huge faith. You just have to have some faith. You start with a seed of faith and you plant it, and then you see what the Father will do with it. But there are ingredients that we have to do to agree with God. So just like Jesus had to speak it out of his mouth, so do we. We speak it out of our mouth. We hide a seed of faith in our heart. He said, by his stripes I am healed. Oh, that's a good seed, isn't it? And then you ponder that. You think about that. You believe that. You start going around. You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you go, you're healed. You walk around your house and you go, nope, you see that thing you're trying to bring on me? I felt that. I'm not having it. I put the seed of God's word in my heart, and he said, Jesus took the stripes for me so that I could be healed. So I'm healed. So I'm just going to declare it, and I'm going to decree it, and I'm going to say, Satan, you don't get to have my body. You don't get to mess with this in me. No, I put my faith, my seed faith. It might be a little faith, but it's enough faith to defeat you. Full. And then you operate as though you already have the answer. Because that's what faith does. It's the evidence of things hoped for, not of things yet seen. Okay, I don't have to see it to believe it. That's what we do. We live in this world. We want to see it before we believe it. We want everything to change. When we told God we wanted it to change, he's supposed to be like a magician and do it for you. Well, if he did that every time that you wanted him to, what do you need faith for? He wants you to become like him. Jesus, is Jesus God? So Holy Spirit God. Jesus had to have faith in God. If Jesus had to have faith in his Father and in his word, how much more do we have to have faith in our Father and in his word? And we do the same things that Jesus does, and we see miracles because of it, just like Jesus did. He gave him the power to overcome the enemy, but Jesus had to work with the seed that he had of confidence in his Father, and then it came to pass. And then he overcame, and then he changed the world. Well, you're world changers too. He made you just like him. You have his DNA. He's waiting for you to understand it. And you're like, well, I don't have enough faith. You know, that person has great, I wish I was Heidi Baker. She has more faith than anybody. Well, she does have a lot of faith. And do you know why she has a lot of faith? Because she exercised it. Because when she said, I'm going to heal blind eyes, every time she saw somebody that was blind, she jumped out of the back of the car and laid hands on them. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing for about the first 100 people. And then one day, she goes, so I'm still going to do it. Bible says I can do it. I have faith the size of a mustard seed. I can do it. No, I'm saying that. She didn't say that. I don't know what was going on in Heidi's mind. But all I know is she was unstoppable. And so she jumped out of the truck, said, oh, you can't see. All right. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And the blind eyes opened. And you know what? Now, whenever she lays hands on blind eyes, they open. You know why? Mustard seed turned into a field. And your mustard seed faith can turn into a field of harvest also. Okay? I want you to know that your mustard seed can uproot every root of lies inside of yourself and other people that you stand in the gap for. When you pray with faith in God and his ability, God will move mountains out of somebody else's thinking. You know why? Because he honors your prayers. Because he honors your faith in him. Jesus said, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. What are you going to put your... Jesus, the Son of God. He said, have faith in God. He's speaking to us. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone now, he takes it a step further. If anyone says to this mountain, you go take yourself and jump into the sea, mountain. That, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believes that it will happen, it will be done for him. He's like, it's more than just a little mustard seed tree now that's being thrown into the sea. He's saying you can speak to any mountain in your life. I don't care if it's a mountain of debt, if it's a mountain of doubt, it's a mountain of sickness, it's a mountain of your past, it's a mountain of disbelief, if it's a mountain of confusion, if it's a mountain of depression, it doesn't matter what mountain it is. He said that if you speak to it in faith, that it can be cast into the sea. Any mountain will move for you if you move the mountain. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Whew. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then he says, have faith in God and don't allow doubt to be in your heart. He said, if you find a promise on your situation and you speak to it, it'll be cast into the sea. That's the way it goes. Just say, that's the way it goes. Okay. Verse 24. Therefore, I tell you. Who's talking? Jesus is talking. You think he might know something about this? He says, whatever disciples of mine, not just the 12, but the ones sitting in this room, Jesus said. He's saying, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amen. Well, for real? Well, then why isn't it working for me? I don't know. Let's go back. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. That's past tense. Believe that you have received it, then it will be yours. It means hey, we can have faith. We start by speaking faith, and then our faith has to grow so that we are so confident that when we speak it out, we believe it's already happened. We are no longer looking at a mountain. We don't care what the mountain looks like. We don't care how tall it is. We don't care what's on the mountain. We don't care if the mountain tries to move or shake. No, it doesn't matter, because we are confident, because he said that whatever you ask for in prayer and you believe that you have already received it, that the mountain will move and be cast into the sea. I know we don't believe this because we're not seeing the answers for all of this, but hey, we're on our way and this is a new season. Amen. And so we've got to be so confident. That's why I keep saying we got to pray more. We got to pray more. We got to pray more. We got to pray more intense. We got to believe God more. You know, the word of God is what gives you faith. You start praying. There is no higher agreement than the agreement of God's word when you pray. If you want, I don't know how to pray. Open the word of God and pray it out. I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. Okay. So, big things are about ready to happen. Announcement. Big things are about ready to happen. Okay? We are in harvest season. God is not thinking small, and I am not thinking small, and you should not think small anymore. You need to get back to giant faith. You need to get back to believing God. God is a God that is, he is big, he thinks big, and God thinks in multitudes. He doesn't think in individuals. He thinks in multitudes. He provided for everyone. So the multitudes include you. It includes your loved ones. It includes the people that you're praying in faith for. How much faith do you need? This much faith. Let's see the next slide. I know. It's a picture. No, it's a picture. One picture. It's a PowerPoint. Sorry. Technical difficulties. But we love you. There it is. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's what it looks like. What will be impossible for you? Oh, how much faith do you have to have? You think you have that much faith? Can you have that much faith? Come on now. You can have that much faith. Anybody could have that much faith. Okay, so a grain of mustard seed faith. This is what my mentor, Esther, taught me. She said, honey, she has it written down in one of her books, but she was always teaching us all the time. She said, whatever you think about, pray about. Now, if you just take that advice, okay. Whatever you think about, pray about. My precious mother, her mother, wisely brainwashed me to live in this mindset. Develop a pray more mentality. Please, in capitals. It will rescue you from the you haven't got a prayer mindset. Isn't that what the devil tells you? You haven't got a prayer. You haven't got a prayer. You haven't got a prayer. Really? She said, pray always and you'll stay right in the center of God's love. Jude 20 says that. And so, mothers, I don't know if you're thinking that I'm not even sure I have mustard seed faith. Well, you do. And God laid it on my heart to give every woman here, because, you know, I have a hard time separating out people. Like, you're either a mother, you're going to be a mother, or you have a mother. You're in that category. So I can't give to one and not give to the other. Others, your day is coming. Okay, so don't get jealous. But I have something that I'm going to sow into you, and I want to give you a mustard seed necklace. So there's two different kinds. Look, this is why we have this beautiful table and why I have amazing people that help me, because you know it would not look like this if it was up to me. So, oh, I love it so much. Now, here we have this kind. Oh, and I need this. All right. And then we have this kind. I think the younger girls, I don't know. I was guessing. Listen, I tried. I did the best I could. All right. So, here's what we have. Look at this, and it's so cool. It's a slider. All right? And so, on this, it says, wow. Let's see who has good eyes. What the heck does that say?
With God, all things are possible.
Oh, with God, all things are possible. Thank you, Jesus. And what does this one say? Oh, my Lord, even with glasses on.
If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing is impossible.
Woo!
For you.
Okay. Hallelujah. There's faith in these mustard seeds. Okay. So one of them looks like this, and it's got a little heart with a mustard seed in it. And this one has a round disc, and it has a round thing with the mustard seed in it. Okay. So now, how many of you women want one of these? Okay. That's good. But here's the challenge. I'm going to give you it. Whether you take the challenge or not, but you better take the challenge. I'm just saying. Okay, so I took the time to put together scriptures to encourage your faith. This is the Word of God. If you want your faith to grow, you have to use it. I mean, I even put it together for you. These are my scriptures that I like, but you can find your own too. But I'm just saying, this can be your starter kit that I made for you, okay? This is to encourage you, mothers, women, people that have mothers, okay? And then this is for your children or your spiritual children. These are scriptures that you can pray out for them. With a mustard seed of faith, you can cause a mountain to move in somebody's life. Do you guys have somebody that you love, that you care about, that could be possibly a spiritual child as well? Use this. It's the Word of God. Well, how do I use this? Well, I was practicing. I've been practicing my whole life. Okay, so this is what you do. This is how it reads. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So this is the word of God. This is Isaiah the prophet saying what God is saying. But now, if I'm going to use it for someone that I love, I'm going to say, guess what, Satan? The same word that came out of God's mouth is coming out of my mouth. And it's not going to return to me empty, because I am promised a harvest on the seed that I sow. And so it is going to accomplish what God has purposed that it is going to accomplish. And it is going to succeed in the thing that I sent it to do. Any questions? But you see, you have to say it with faith in God. You don't just say it. This is not something that you just yell at the devil with. This is something that you put in your heart first, and you put that seed as a mustard seed inside of you, and then you start railing on what truth is. This is truth. Let God be true and everything else be a lie. So, all scripture, I read you that this morning, is breathed out by God. I'm coming to you, these things that I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I'm speaking into that person. They're going to have joy fulfilled in themselves.
because you've given them your word. And just like the world hates them, just like it hated you, they are not of the world. They are not going to be taken out by the evil one. They are not of the world, just like you were not of the world, because you're sanctifying them by your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't feel so good today. I don't have any faith. I don't even feel I have like mustard seed faith. I don't know. Oh, man. Well, wait a minute. I remember he said this to me one time. I read it somewhere in the Word, and it said, oh, wait. Oh, Isaiah says, He is the Lord my God. He takes hold of my right hand, and he says, don't fear, Dawn. I'll take care of you. Don't fear, Ruby. I'll take care of you. So I'm not going to be anxious for anything. It says in Philippians, I'm not supposed to be upset. It says, in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, I'm making my requests made known to you, God. And your peace that transcends the natural, it transcends natural understanding. It's going to guard my heart, and it is going to guard my mind through Jesus Christ. Because that's what you promised me it could do. The word works. It's changing my heart. It's changing my mind. It's changing my attitude. It's giving me faith. It's coming out of me. I might feel weary and burdened, but you said if I come to you weary and burdened, you're going to give me rest. You said I can do all things because you strengthen me. You said that when I seek you, you'll answer me and deliver me from all of my fears. You said if I cast my care upon you, that you will sustain me and you will never let the righteous be shaken. You said those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar with wings like eagles. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Oh, the steadfast love of my God never ceases. I wake up in the morning and his mercies are there every morning and they never come to an end. They are new. Great is your faithfulness, God. You are my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in you and you alone. Are you kidding me? Let the word work for you. Let the word come alive. Let it be what it's supposed to be. It's alive. It's living. It just needs to be utilized. We just need to know that when we do what he asked us to do, he will do what he promised he will do. Amen. Now, I hope that you want these more than you want these. I hope that this means more to you than these mean. This is a visual for you. Oh, hallelujah, we like it. We like it, and they're beautiful, and they're sterling silver, so they're good. A little costly, not too much. You're worth every penny. This is costly, too. And Jesus said, you're worth every penny. So, musicians, if you'll come and just play in the background. Ladies, if you want to be prayed for, I'm going to be at the front. And we're going to put your jewelry around your neck. We're going to anoint you with oil. And we're going to pray for you, okay? And those of you who are not women, then you're going to stay in a prayerful manner as we pray for these people. Is that good? Will you pray and stand and believe with us? Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know. These look pretty nice. I hope you all get the one you like. Okay. Okay, so ladies, yes, you need to come. Just come up. I need another one. Hallelujah. God is on the throne. His word is true. It's going to be true for you too. Okay. We got two lines going. All right, I'm not going to do the put the necklace on. You are. Yes, absolutely. Put it on, she said. Okay. Yeah, they could come to the table and I'll pray for them. Look, it has hearts. My goodness. I guess I should let you get the necklace first because this is going to be the... And then I'll pray for you. How's that? Huh? Oh, well, I was just going to let them get it first, I think, because... Yeah. But do it quickly so I can pray for you, okay? As soon as you get your necklace, come over here and I'm going to pray for you.